Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, for we know God is good
all the time.
And we also know and proclaim every day of our lives that the Lord Jesus has given us three commands. And as we work out those three commands, our lives are changed unto the world being changed, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let us love God this day by entering into his word. Let us love others by taking this word out into the world, which is our going. Can I get an amen, church? Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John. I am going to put myself in the book of Micah. You're in 1 John, so please go there. Because I need to remind the folks who are out there on internet land what we've already heard from the lighting of our second candle, the second candle of Advent, our Bethlehem candle. For it is written in the word of the Lord, for thus saith the word of the Lord, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will go forth for me to be ruler of Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until that time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord of his God, and he will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. Blessed be the word of our Lord. As we think about the words that we've just read and what was Bethlehem, Bethlehem was the birthplace of David. David was a lowly shepherd. If you remember the story of Israel, Israel wanted a king. So God gave them the ability to choose a king, and they chose one who was head and shoulders above the rest. Didn't choose the one God wanted, they chose the one they wanted. How's that working out for you? Isn't it amazing? You know, I've said this many times in my lifetime, and I will say it until the day I die. Yes, I'm an American citizen, and I love our democratic republic. We do not have a democracy. A democracy is an evil thing. We have a democratic republic, which means we elect representatives. But however, when those politicians become life politicians, they also become corrupt, and we well know it. And I think about what God has given to us here. Yes, we have to form government, but we also have to understand that God is our government. Can I get an amen from the church? Isn't it funny how we elect the people that we want to do what we want them to do, rather than simply saying, God, we're going to rely on you? Because is not Jesus Christ our King? Is not Jesus Christ our Lord? Is not Jesus Christ our salvation? And to his name be all glory given. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So when we think about what's going on here and how David was the one that God really wanted to bring in, but he allowed them their druthers, where did he go to get this king? Where did he go to find King David? Did he go to the places of honor? Did he go to the places of esteem? Did he go to the palaces? No, where did he go? He went out into the shepherd's field, in a little town called Bethlehem, in the middle of nowhere. Now, I was in Bethlehem years ago, and it amazes me. I wanted to find my pictures, but those pictures are all put away, and heavens knows where they are. Russell will find them someday when I'm out of here. Of course, actually, somebody else will find them, because hopefully he's out of here with me. And y'all know I'm talking about the rapture. Can I get an amen? So I think about these things, but when I come to that thought of what was Bethlehem like, Bethlehem was this town, and it's not a big town. It's actually in the Palestinian area, and because of that, there's constant battle there. There's constant war there, and the houses, the hotels, everything, they have bullet holes, pock marks in the walls. And not just pockmarks from bullets. I mean, they've got artillery round holes in the walls. And this place is, it's devastated. But yet in this place is the very church where they celebrate the nativity. And it's underground. It's got this huge church built above it, okay? And underground, there's this little hole in the ground about this big around. It's got like a bronze star around it and white marble. And you stick your hand down in this hole to touch the manger down there, okay? Because it was in the grotto where supposedly Jesus was born. And I think about how we have taken this little place, this little hole in the wall. Is that not what Jesus was born in? A hole in the wall. He wasn't born in a barn. You know, barns are American made. We did that over here. Over in Israel, they used caves in a wall. And God sent the ruler of the universe into a very small, set aside place. No attention paid to it. But from you will come one whose days are of old, and he shall be ruler over all. I want you to think about who you are in Jesus Christ. I want you to think about what God has set you to. Our world wants to knock us down. Our world wants us to think that we're something little and we're something small. But in the hands of God, we are mighty, mighty warriors. We are the people of God for a place and a purpose and a call. And that call is the call of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Turning then to the book of 1 John. As you're already there, and I need to get there, we come to the words that I would like us to hear this day. From chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. And he who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. As we look at these words, as we set ourselves to the understanding of what God is telling us here, I want us to understand, thinking about Bethlehem, what came out of Bethlehem. It was a little town in Nowheresville filled with shepherds out in the boonies. Because when Jesus was born, it was truly a small town, okay? How many of you are from small town Pennsylvania? Yeah, most of us are from small town Pennsylvania. You know, I think about where I grew up. I think about Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. Do you know what Glen Rock stands for? Do you know what Glen means? It means valley. So it's called the Valley of Rocks. Isn't that a place you want to live? Okay? Glen Rock, Valley of Rocks. And I'll guarantee you it was. It was a hilly place, and you know, I can remember living there and growing up, and everybody knew me, and I knew everybody. Can anybody else relate to that? And everybody knew that Richie Dubs was a troublemaker, because that's what I was told from little on up. You're going to be nothing but trouble. How many of us allow other people, other places to define who and what we are? All through life, that happens to us. You know, I think it's funny. We live in the United States where we're told and we tell our kids, you know, it's on TV, oh, you can become anything you want. But how many of us had teachers? How many of us had elder people in our lives that told us we're stupid, we're dumb, you're going to amount to nothing? For me, it was my dad. I mean, I want you to think about how detrimental those things are. And that's the spirit of Antichrist. That's the thing that we need to remember. That's what's being talked about here. The spirit of Antichrist is here. He is here, and he does not want us to understand who we are, whose we are, and where he would have us be in our walk with him. So we need to test the spirits. We need to understand that if something is putting you down, if something is looking at you and saying you're less than, is it in agreement with God's word? Because does not God's word say you are a child of the Most High God, that you are his possession, and that he has reign and rule over your life? So this other individual or this entity or this whatever is not coming under the Spirit of God. Can I get an amen? So should we be listening to them? Absolutely not. And that's what I want us to understand today. It says here to us in verse 5. Look at verse 5. It says, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. That's a word of deception. We need to remember from Ephesians, and we learned this because we went over it for weeks, that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the powerful dark forces of this present time. We need to understand that these are powers and principalities that are coming after us, and they're going to talk us down. They're going to make us feel less than we are. But isn't it amazing how all the TV stars and all the rock stars and all the football players and basketball players and all these other things, they all get talked up, make millions of dollars, and look at their lives for the most part. How many of you want to trade places with them? You'd like to trade wallets, wouldn't you? But how many of us really want to trade places with these people who are lost and have no hope? Because you and I both know our hope is not in money. Our hope is in the Lord. Can I get an amen? You know, I went to LBC. That was my alma mater. My hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me. And I think about that all the time, that I have been called, I have been set apart, and the Spirit testifies to my spirit that I am more than what this world tells me that I am. And I need to come in alignment with that, because if I come in alignment with what the world tells me, what am I going to become? And I think about that when I think about our young people. I think about that when I think about us as adults. You know, how often do we allow those evil comments to come in? How often do we say them to ourselves? My little granddaughter, just yesterday, I was down there for hunting. I went out in the morning, and so I got to spend a little bit of time with them, and I came home at lunchtime. And we're sitting there eating late breakfast. I guess you call that brunch. And we're sitting there eating breakfast, and she was telling us that this little boy tells everybody that he's ignorant. And the teacher tried to tell him that, no, you're not ignorant. And my granddaughter said something that floored both myself and his mom. She said, but he told us, his mommy calls him ignorant all the time. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. I can remember growing up hearing those words. I can remember growing up being 5 years old and being told that I'm worthless from the man that I adored, my own father. And I got to the point in my life where I believed those words. So guess what I became? So when I grew up and I accepted the Lord in my life, I made the conscious decision that I was not going to be my dad. I was going to be like my heavenly father. I was going to call my son what I wanted him to become. I was going to tell him the things that I wanted him to believe about himself. I told him every day that I love you. Every day, a little boy, I love you. And I would hug him. And once he hit about 8 years old, yeah, the hugs didn't, he didn't want that, but boy, he really didn't want the kisses, especially in front of anybody. Now at 35, yeah, he kisses his dad, and my heart's thrilled. He's a dad with three little ones, and he tells them the same thing all the time. You don't talk them down, you talk them up. God talks us up. He calls us a child. He calls us an heir. He tells us that we are his own and that we are more than conquerors and that we have all of him at the avail of our fingers. You need to understand, though the world wants your light to be snuffed out, God wants your light to burn brighter. Just as he lit prophecy by telling us these things ahead of time, that we know he's in charge, so too now he wants you to know from the little that you think you have, there's more to come. There's more to come. There's far more than you know. I think about this often. You know, my grandparents were two people, and I'm talking about my Sigmund grandparents because that's the bigger part of my family. My Sigmund grandparents were two individual people who had 15 children. And those 15 children had 104. Those 104 are over 480. And those 480 are well over 1,000 now, and I'm part of that 480 that's made the over 1,000. So I want you to see that God starts here with something little and he just adds to it and adds to it and adds to it and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the way he wants us to see our lives. He's going to start with you where you are. You know, I look at our young people that are sitting here. You might think there's not a whole lot, but I want you to think about something, Susie. Before you started into gymnastics and that good stuff, you know, how good were you at that stuff? Nah, not very good. But how about now? Getting better all the time, aren't you? You betcha. Why? Because you're investing in yourself. You're believing in yourself. You know you can do it if you get out there and try. You know that it takes discipline, doesn't it? Amen and amen. Little Alex over here, he ain't so little no more. Alex is growing up, getting to become a young man. Alex just was recognized for his bell playing. Oh, my heavens. How did you start bell playing? Well, I think you started with a triangle, didn't you? Is that where it began or something or along there? No? Okay, well, did it begin with the piano? Is that how it started? Okay, so one note at a time though, right? And now you're up to the point where I know you can outdo me because I can play two notes at a time. Dinka, 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 do. Keep going. Don't stop. You got this. And that's what we need to hear, all of us, all of our lives. And that's what God wants us to hear. He says, because we are from God, and those of us who are from God will listen to us. And we need to encourage one another, just as God is our encourager. Can I get an amen? Because God wants us to know that there is so much in store for us. But what does the world do? Again, the world tries to tear us down. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Just back a little bit, 1 Peter chapter 2. And at this time of the year, I'll tell you, I get a little worried at this time of the year because, yes, this is a good time of the year, and I love this time of the year, but it's also a tough time of the year for folks because during the holiday seasons, there's a lot of depression that comes because people are lonely. People are alone because of what the world does. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verses 9 and 10. That's all we're going to read is two verses here. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Mercy is what? God's love poured out upon a people who don't deserve it. That's mercy. That is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, brothers and sisters? He is our salvation. Without him, we have no hope. But in him, we have all hope. Why do we have all hope? Because God has said that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Four things he has called us. He has called us out from this world. We're no longer this little insignificant thing. We are now heir to everything that is yet to be. And a lot of that is available to us right here, but we have to apportion it to ourselves. We have to be the ones to go out there and seek him with all our hearts. And when we seek him with all our hearts, he declares to us from Jeremiah 29:11, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. But we need to understand something. This world wants to draw us back because, verse 10, for you once were not a people. I want you to think about Israel because that's who it's talking about. It's talking about Israel there. Israel was once not a people because they were wanderers in a foreign land. They were wanderers in a foreign land. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, they were down in Egypt, weren't they? And they became slaves. And then God called them out to take them into the promised land. And they didn't listen to God, did they? They followed him. They went out, but they grumbled and fought the whole time until they got to the promised land. And then when the work got a little tough, what did they decide to do? Oh, no, we're going to believe what the world has to say about us. You know, we're as grasshoppers in their sight. There's giants in the land. How many of us are fearful of the giants in the land? I'll guarantee you right now, I'm not fearful of the giants in the land. Not anymore. I used to be. I figure the only giant in the land that I need to be afraid of is my own ego, my own attitudes, because that's where Satan defeats me. I think it's funny. I don't care what any other person says about Pastor Rich. But when I look in the mirror, that man looking back to me, that guy can ruin my day. But Pastor, isn't that pretty arrogant? You don't care what other people say. No, I don't. I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. You're not going to like some of the things I have to say to you. Those of you who have been in my presence that know that, raise your hands. Because I am going to tell you the truth. You will not like it. And some of you will leave. That's your choice. But if you're willing to walk in truth, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is bright, and there's a hope, and there's a future. And I've walked many of people through it, but we got to get over ourselves. We've got to understand that we weren't a people. But in order to be a people, that means we need to come together. We need to be a group. And that's where we submit to Jesus Christ and we become the body of Christ. We become a people with a purpose and a possession. And that possession is our salvation unto eternity in heaven. Can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, God is giving us the ability, but the world is going to try and pull us down. Going to tell you you're a failure. Going to tell you you screwed this up. Well, guess what? Yes, I did. Suck it up, cupcake. I believe last week I was trying to get us to read something out of 1 Corinthians 10, and I'm the pastor. Don't you think he ought to know where the stuff is about communion? Yeah, he should, shouldn't he? Wonder why I didn't. Because I screwed up. Ain't none of y'all ever done that, have you? So you get over it, and you move forward, and you realize God's laughing with you. He's not laughing at you. He's saying, yeah, that was funny. Let's try again. And he moves forward. How many of us do that with our kids? How many of us should be doing that with our kids? How many of us do that with our spouses? How many of us should be doing that with our spouses? We are a mess. Aren't we a mess, Miss Susan? We are a mess. But praise be to God, he has called us to be a people of light, a people of hope. And that means we've got to walk into this thing. And it's called what, church? Progressive sanctification. For those of you who are getting to know your pastor, you're going to start to understand that a lot of what we are is progressive sanctification. God sees us fully sanctified. In other words, he sees us in eternity whole. But we've got to get there. So we're working it out now with fear and trembling. And as we do, we're going to struggle with darkness and light. And is that not what our word here just told us? That he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've got to make that conscious choice. I was born in Bethlehem, but I'm destined to be the king's kid. Can I get an amen? Who are you? Where are you? What are you going to become? Only God has those things defined. No man has it defined. The world is going to tell you that you're nothing, but Jesus Christ has said from the cross, you are everything, because he laid down his life for you individually. You know, I think it's amazing because people have said to me, yeah, well, he did that for everybody. No, because we come to him one at a time. He did that individually for every one of our sins. If there had only been one human being on the planet Earth, he'd have done it for that one. And as it is, he has done it for you. And in that, you become a people, because there are brothers and sisters who recognize that truth as well. And we have to walk into that. So that means thinking of yourself more than this world wants you to think, but keeping a sober judgment. Can I get an amen? Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but remember your position. We are under Christ. He is Christ, and he rules and reigns. And as he rules and reigns, we come under him. And that's called what? Obedience. And as we obey him, the light of Christ grows in our lives. The hope of Christ grows in our lives. And we see just where God wants us to go. We need to walk as a people of light. What does that look like? Turn in your Bibles. This is my last scripture for today. This is 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. The apostle here is writing to us. I was about to say the Apostle Paul, and it's the book of Peter. Oh, my heavens, young man. The Apostle Peter here is writing to us, and he wants us to understand some very relative things. And in these things, we will grow, and the light will grow in us. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I need to ask you a question. Is he talking to you, Christian? That's a real question. I expect an answer. Is he talking to you, Christian? Okay. So you can say, oh, the Holy Spirit's talking to me. Yes, the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. He wants you to understand this. He wants you to know this is for you. You're not reading this for your husband. You're not reading this for your kids. You're not reading this for the guys at work. God's talking to you. He's talking to me. Thus saith the Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You and I need to understand that the one thing that will diminish our light more so than anything else are the lusts of our own selves, the lusts of our human nature, the sin that has pulled us away from God since the beginning. Did you notice how it talks about wisdom and knowledge there? Okay. Do you understand that what we are talking about is eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You and I know what truth is. In fact, the scripture that we started with spoke of that knowledge. It spoke of that reality that we know truth and knowledge because we ate of that tree. But how many of us can handle that truth? How many of us can handle that knowledge? We can't, because it was never for us to partake of. It was a divine fruit, but we partook of it. And now we need something other divine in order to be able to understand it and comprehend it and come under it. That's the divine nature. How do we get the divine nature? And I don't mean by that that we become a god, all right? Please do not hear me saying that. I'm not one of these New Agers. I'm a Christian pastor, and there's only one divine, and that is our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? But does he not dwell in us when we come to him? So therefore, we have a commingling of the divine nature, just as Christ had a commingling of the divine nature when he was here on this earth in humanly form. The divine nature is his. The human is ours. And we've got to commingle these two things so that we are under the control of the divine nature and that the human nature is in submission to it. That is the wisdom and knowledge that he's speaking of here. That is the truth that he is speaking of here. And when you and I come to that place of understanding just who we are and how much we lack the ability to get there to that divine nature, are we not perplexed to bow our head and say, thank you, Jesus, because he is that bridge. He is that gap. He is the Holy One who represents us before the Father, and we submit to him. Because if I am God, if I am all things, how much more am I going to do wrong? How much more am I going to think about myself and try to make all things work around me? Does this sound like anything you all are seeing in our world today? You better believe it. How many of the elites think they are God on this earth? Because is that not the lie that the evil one told? If you eat of that tree, you'll be like God. You know what? That's the same lie he told himself. I'm going to be like God. Folks, it's the same lie since the very beginning until today. And that brought darkness. So we've got to get rid of that. And we need to remember, we need a divine Savior. We need his divine nature in us, with us, and for us. And that's what the redemption has brought to us. That's why that light, you know, and, you know, a lot of us don't understand the symbolism of the church. But that light, if you remember, it was lit from the gentleman who had the divinity candle. When you look at the altar, the candle to the left as you are standing looking at the altar, the candle to the left is the divinity candle. Did we not light the prophecy candle off of the divinity candle? Yes, we did. Why? Because that represents the divine nature of God coming before men. And then from the prophecy candle, did we not take that very same light, that divinity, and light the Bethlehem candle? Yes, we did. And next week, we're going to light the pink one over here, and that's going to be the shepherd's candle. And then we're going to light that last blue one, and that's going to be the angel's candle. And then guess what we're going to do? We're going to light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. And now it's complete. It came from him, and it comes back to him. From his divine form to his human form. We're the human form, just like him. And because of the Holy Spirit in us, God says, my child, my son, you are a high priest. You are more than conquerors. You are everything. And all the promises of God are yours. But you have to take them. You've got to walk in the light and get out of darkness. What does that mean? That means following him in obedience, brothers and sisters. You can't say I'm a child of God and spit on him in the same breath. It doesn't work. God's going to let you mess up. How many of us do? Now deal with your mess, and God will start you again. But if you stay in that mess, you run the risk of having your candle taken out. And that's a very real reality. We got to remember, we're not God. He is. But he doesn't leave us there. He says, now, verse 5, now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. That's our humanity. That's what I was just speaking of. As we receive the divine, as we become partakers of the divine, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. In other words, you know what's right and you know what's wrong, you know what to believe and you know what to throw away. Can I get an amen? So let's start doing it. You know, I think it's funny. How many of us store stuff in the garage or the attic or the basement? And it's been there for the last 15 years. Well, you never know, I might need that. Yeah, I know, I'm Pennsylvania Dutch, I do the same thing. I think I've got an electric motor that I brought with me from the farm when we lived in Seven Valleys. In fact, I know I do, there's three of them down there. Why do we do that? Because we don't want to get rid of anything. Brothers and sisters, there are some things we need to unpack from our closets. Can I get an amen? We need to supply moral superiority to this. These things that shouldn't be part of our lives anymore need to be taken away. They need to be gotten rid of. You know, I think this is wonderful. I can remember I was a pastor of a church, and there was a room in that church that had boxes upon boxes upon boxes of junk. And we needed space. So I said to our administrator, I said, hey, maybe we ought to see if we can get a group of people to come together and throw this stuff away. And she just looked at me and shook her head. This lady had been in the church since forever, okay? I think she was Abraham's mom. And she says to me, Pastor Rich, if you want to get rid of that stuff, how about if you and I go through it and we don't tell anybody? I said, well, that's not right. She said, it's the only way it's going to get done. And I said, well, if you think it's okay, she said, remember, it's your idea. We went through that closet. I threw things away that were broken. I mean, this one stand in there, I'll just pick on it. This one stand that was in there, it was probably 100 years old, okay? I'll grant you that. It was rotted. The wood was rotted. It was falling apart. There was more of a mess there than there was a stand anymore. I took that thing out and threw it in the hopper, and when it hit the hopper, it blew up. I'm not kidding you. I lofted it in, and when it hit the bottom of the hopper, it was pieces. And I was like, wow, I can't believe they were hanging on to that. 5 months later, to tell the rest of the story, some people went upstairs and found this stuff missing because there was room. And as soon as there was room, it wasn't, oh, there's room. It was, oh, where'd all our stuff go? Well, what are you talking about? Well, I don't know what was up there. You didn't miss it, but you want to blame it on somebody because you want to hang on to this junk. The church is just as bad as the world is my whole point on that. And we all need to understand, get rid of the darkness, get it out of you, throw it away and bring in the light. What does the light look like? From verse 6, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's the fruit of the Spirit. So when we take the Spirit upon us and we allow that light to come, we walk in obedience unto Him, getting rid of the darkness, and He increases the light. And in that we find our hope, because we are a child of hope. We are not a child of doubt. We are not a child of worry. We're not a child of fear. We are a child of hope. And the hope is coming. And we know it's not long. Look around you. How many of us are seeing the signs of the times? How many of us are seeing the signs in the heavens? How many of us are feeling the groanings? How many of us are feeling the birthing pangs? How many of us are ready for the coming of the Christ? Can I get an amen? You didn't sound so convincing there. Because I'll guarantee you, most of us are right where your attitude was. I ain't sure about this, Pastor. You need to get sure, because I'm going to tell you right now, the scripture warns us, that day will come as a thief in the night. None of us know when it's going to happen. None of us know when it's going to happen. And are we right with him? Do we have everything cleaned out that needs to be cleaned out? Are we walking in the light of Jesus Christ? And are we being those fruitful people? You know, I want my life to be more fruitful. I don't want it to be hard. I want to see the goodness of the Lord. And when I talk about that, what does that mean? That's talking about you. I want to see your lives a blessing. That's my fruitfulness, by encouraging you and seeing you excel in everything that God does. You know, Miss Susan and I talk about our worship here, and she's told me so many times that she is so happy because I don't tell Miss Susan what to play, do I? I tell her, you pick your songs. She doesn't even know what I'm preaching on. I told her, you don't worry about me. I said, you listen to him and you do what he tells you, because I ain't telling him what to do. How many of us want to tell God what to do? What? No, I don't do that, Pastor. Oh, yes, we do. Every time we hang on to that stuff that we've hidden that nobody knows is in our garage and in our cabinets and all that stuff, we're walking in that stuff. But we need to put on self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love towards one another and in our own lives. And as we do, God will define who we are. And our lives will be changed, and good will come. Now, does that mean it's going to be easy all the time? How many of you have an easy life? You know, when Staples came out with the easy button? Okay? Yeah, it don't work. Life is going to be hard, because God wants you to make choices. God wants you to make choices. That's how we've been created, to choose him. Every time. So therefore, brethren, let's go to verse 9 first. Therefore, whoever lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. That's God's promise. That's not mine. I'm not making that up. God has said here, if you continue to walk in these things, if you continue to hold to these things, God is going to allow you the provision that he has brought to you. The world cannot define you. Only God can. So therefore, if you lack these qualities, you've forgotten who you are. I'm here to remind you, get back to the Lord. Walk into the light. Step into the reality that from Bethlehem came the King of Kings. And from wherever you are even now is yet a divine nature to be revealed in each and every one of you. That divine nature's his. Can I get an amen? But the life you will live in that divine nature, because he is in us and we are in him, that's yours. You get to take all of that with you. You know, it's been said that you never see a hearse followed by a U-Haul. That's because the physical things can't go. But all the spiritual things, all of them, they do go. All of them, good, bad, and indifferent. May we choose the good. Can I get an amen? Because in that, God's showing us who we are. Pray with me this day. Father God, we come before you knowing that the world tells us we are nothing. But yet, Lord, in Christ Jesus, who spread wide his arms on the cross of Calvary, we learn that we truly are everything to you. And in that, we humbly come before you. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless us, that you would walk with us, that you would teach us, that you would guide us. Because we want to submit and we want that light to grow in our lives and into our world. Because the evil is pressing in on every side. But may we remember that we are more than conquerors and that we have all the hope in the world. Know all the hope beyond the universe. For you, God, are the God of everything. May you be our God, and may our hearts, may our desires, and may our lives be submitted to you, that you would be glorified by the life we live. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.